I missed you all last week. Forgive me when I'm absent. I am only at work. Trust me, I never get absent because this is the service. You cannot be absent for just going here or there. I'm only absent if I am working. My schedule on Saturday, if I'm working, I'm 7 o'clock till 7. So forgive me if I'm not here. Number two, forgive me if I didn't call you guys this week. I sent the text message, but I'm very sorry I didn't call you in person. We're going to take the blessing today to hear from Mr. David Hanna about the life of faith. And pay attention, because if you come out from this class by just having a strong faith, you will be blessed. Pay attention, because you're going to have an assignment. None of you leave after we finish the lesson. We're going to hear about your assignment, right? Pay very attention, very close attention to every word God will send it to you on his mouth, on his lips today, because it's a great blessing to hear this lecture, Habay. We talked about the square with equal four sides equal to each other, talked about fasting, talked about praying, talked about cheerful giver. The fourth one is the faith, and all in around in a circle of the love to the Lord. Okay? Pay close attention. God give you the word. Give me the word. We're all going to get benefit of God's willing today. Fadl, Mr. Dean.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I'm fine. I'm the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to start off by asking two quick questions. First question, not so concerned about. Second one is what we're basing our discussion this evening about. The first question is, what is our religion? Can somebody answer me to say, what is our religion? There are several religions out there. What is our religion? We're Christian, right? Okay. Second question is, what is our faith? What is our faith? Catholic Orthodox, right? So, we know that we're Christians and we're Catholic Orthodox. That's our faith. What can you tell me about our faith, being Catholic Orthodox? Besides everybody's hands being raised up, we can go in order, but...
Very religious.
Very religious?
Orthodox.
Any religion can say they're very religious. You can be Muslim, you can be Buddhist, you can be Protestant, you can say very religious, but what else?
Strict.
What does Orthodox mean?
Traditional.
The word traditional, unchanged, right?
Traditional, apostolic, hasn't really changed.
Now, what else can we say? So we know that we are Christian and we're Catholic Orthodox. What else does it mean, the word faith? When you hear the word faith, what does it tell you? Or what do you feel when you hear the word faith? What comes to your mind? Yes.
It's personal.
Like, faith is more personal thing than the. Very good. Yes. The way you live life, you know you're Catholic Orthodox. The way you live your life is your faith. People know you by your faith, what you believe, the way you practice your life. So, people see us and the way that we live our lives, you would know that you're Catholic Orthodox. The most simplest sign that we have is if anybody has a cross on their hand, you don't see any other culture besides tattooing, but you don't see any other culture or faith putting crosses on their arms, right? It says that you know that your faith, you know your faith, you practice your faith by the way you live your life. Okay, the apostle said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And there are two words that are interchangeable with the word faith. Number one is belief, and the second one is hope. So those words in between with the word faith are interchangeable.
Can you read the definition?
Sure. The apostle said that about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the two words that are interchangeable with the word faith is hope and believing, or belief. And very simply put, is the creed. When we pray the Orthodox Creed, what does it say? This is our symbol. It is summed up. It is a symbol of our faith. Okay? It is a symbol of our faith. Okay? You guys ever hear the phrase, you can walk the walk, but can you talk the talk? Right? So it's pretty much saying that, okay, fine, I'm Christian, I'm Coptic Orthodox, but now, can you walk the walk? Can you show me? Can you really say that you're Coptic Orthodox? Or can you really say that you have a lot of faith? Is it just simple enough to say that I'm Christian and I'm Coptic Orthodox? That doesn't, you know, get you a seat in heaven. It's not that easy. Okay? So you have to have faith. Now, there are three great examples of miracles performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That our Lord Jesus Christ mentions the word faith in. The first one is the blind man from Jericho. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, your faith has healed you. Okay? And it can be found in Luke chapter 18, verse 42. And it's also in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verse 52. And the man born leprous, he said the same thing. Your faith has made you well. Now go. That's in Luke chapter 17, verse 19. These are the three miracles that our Lord Jesus Christ mentions about faith. So the first one, right, was the man from Jericho born blind, and that's in Luke 18, verse 42, also found in Mark 10, verse 52. Second one is the man born leprous, your faith has made you well, Luke 17, verse 19. And the last one, can anybody tell me, guess, make a guess of the woman? Of the marriage? Yes, for how many years? How many years?
I guess it's my turn. Maybe that's 18?
12 years.
Oh, sorry.
She was bleeding for 12 years, alright? Which is a very nice story. She was bleeding for 12 years, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, was walking down a very, very crowded street. And this woman had so much faith. All she said is, if I can just touch the end of his robe, just touch it, I know I'll be healed. Okay? Now, she's been to doctors, she's been all around, and she knew that her disease is incurable. But all she wanted to do was get through the crowd and to touch the end of the cloak, the end of our Lord Jesus Christ's robe. And she said, I know that if I touch his robe, I will be healed. And what happened after that? Can somebody tell me? She was healed. But more importantly, before she was healed, what did our Lord Jesus Christ say?
I think he felt like power leaving him.
Yes, he said he felt a great power leaving him. And he turned around and he looked for that woman and he saw her and he said to the superwoman, take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you well. Okay, that's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. Okay? Any questions? Okay, now, how can we strengthen our faith? How can we strengthen our faith? Or does anybody feel, do you ever feel in your life that your faith, let me ask, or can we say that faith is always like vertical or horizontal? Does faith always stay one level? Does faith ever change?
Yes.
Who said yes? It does change, right? And it changed drastically and different times in your life, right? But so our life, our faith should never be flatlined, right? Never feel that it's always here. And God forbid if it gets down here. But it should not always feel like your faith is not going anywhere, okay? What strengthens our faith? How can you strengthen your faith?
Praying.
By praying?
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible, very good.
Repentance.
There's no wrong answer. That's a good, the simple thing. There's no wrong answer. Anything that you do through Christ our Lord Jesus is the right way to gain your faith. Or to strengthen your faith, sorry. Your relationship with God, right? Strengthening your faith is having a relationship with God. loving others, understanding your prayers, reading the Bible. A lot of times people have faith, but their faith is neither here nor there. You know, it's in the gray area, sometimes cold, sometimes hot, until what happens? You see what? You see a miracle, or you hear a miracle. And the most important thing is, and the difference between, which I'm going to get into a different kind of, just two kind of different faiths, but most of the time you think of your faith, it's not going anywhere until you hear or you see a miracle. And then what do you think? Like, wow, you know? And you become more proud when you hear that it's from your church, okay? I think it was 2 weeks ago. We were, I was with my kids upstairs, and we were telling them of a miracle, the miracle that priest in Florida, that he was praying the transfiguration of the bread for the holy body. Then suddenly he had a heart attack. Did you guys hear about it?
No.
Right? And then what happened?
No, what happened?
No. Who said no?
I didn't hear.
It didn't happen?
I didn't hear.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
So wait a minute. I should leave then.
No.
Okay. So the priest, I probably saw the video clip. He was praying. And he came down and he put his head down. And he put the body up. And he collapsed. He had a severe heart attack. It's so severe that he actually died right there. Like there was no time for him to be saved. But it's the amazing thing is, as you saw it, that the bread came off the altar, but as it was falling down, what happened with the holy bread? It came right back in. It floated right back in. It didn't like go around. It went like this, and it went right back. It was just the most amazing thing. So the kids were like, wow, you know, that was from God. I'm like, yeah, it's from God. You know, that's what you believe. That's what your faith is.
That happened in Egypt.
Really?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, this one is the gentleman, the priest in Florida. So this is our faith. This is what we believe. And this is how our faith gets strengthened. You know? Unfortunately, it doesn't have to be through miracles. Hearing, like they say, hearing is not believing, but seeing is believing. You know? But that shouldn't always be the case. Okay? So, also, in Joseph, when he was sold as a slave and he was thrown into prison, right? His whole life story. Joseph could have simply, you know, given up, and he was envied by his brothers, and he was sold as a slave. But what happened to Joseph in the end? Where did he wind up? What position did he have in Egypt?
Second after the Pharaoh.
He was a second after the Pharaoh, and all decision making was up to him. And in the very end, what did he say? He said to his brothers, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. This is all done. His whole life was planned out by God. That's how much faith he has. Okay? He said, you meant evil. And I saw to his brothers, you meant evil against me, to hurt me. But God meant it for good in order to bring this day about that he has made. Okay? Now, confidence, you have to have, in order to have strong faith and service, okay, and be a servant, you have to have confidence that God is your Father, and He is always watching over us. It's written in the Bible. He engraved us on the palm of His hands. I read that, and I think when Pope Schumer wrote the book, it was just amazing. He engraved your name. He has you written in the palm of his hand, okay? Going back to when we said seeing is believing, now St. Thomas, the apostle, said when he refused to believe in the resurrection of the Lord and said, unless I see with my own eyes in his hands the imprints of the nails and put fingers inside those imprints and put my hand inside his side, I will not believe. So he's saying this to the other apostles. Oh, quick question. How many disciples are there?
12.
You guys know that those disciples are also included in the apostles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they went from disciples to apostles after the resurrection, right? Dr. Mary, I was going to add that part in there. You guys understand why, right? Disciples, they were disciples because they lived. they lived during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, walking with him. Now, apostles, they were able to preach and then teach about the way of life. Okay? So they were included as apostles. So, this is our Lord's response to Thomas. He said, God consented with the weakness of Thomas's faith and permitted him to become sure through his senses by saying, stop doubting and believe, Thomas. And he rebuked him, saying, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and do believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and do believe.
Which are us.
Which are us, yes. Now, what weakens faith? So we know how to strengthen our faith. What weakens our faith? It's the same two hands. What weakens our faith? I don't know your name, so you have to forgive me. I'm David.
Not reading the Bible.
Not reading the Bible. Okay. What weakens our faith?
Lack of prayer.
Lack of prayer.
Loss, hardships.
Very good. Yes, hardships.
Like when you see something, like, by someone who's not a Christian, like, pointing out stuff that doesn't seem right.
Yes. What else? What can...
Temptation.
Very good. So our sins, right? Steering away from God. So just so that you know.
Tribulations.
Tribulations, yes. Now, what weakens faith, I'm not going to tell you right now, but is your life away from God? If you have a weak faith, or if your faith is it's not on an incline, it's your relationship with God is wishy-washy. It's not strong. Okay? You're far away from our Lord God. Okay? It says that if you're always worrying, if you're always having stress, your uncertainty about what to do or how to make a decision, okay? Or if you're just plain out reckless in your life, if you're making the absolute wrong decisions in everything and all that you do, and if you do not know how to make the right decisions or how to distinguish between right and wrong, okay? If you're always fearful, you guys have something to say? Have a question? Okay. Want me to sit down? Or anxious. Alright? If somebody wants to read the Bible, it's 4 verses. I'm sorry, I lied. 9 verses. Somebody want to read the Bible?
I'll read it.
You read it? Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34.
Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not or more valuable than they? Which of you, be worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficiency for the day it is its own trouble.
Thank you. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Tony.
Thank you. Oh, my son's name. Okay, can somebody summarize real quick what did I'm sorry, I'm getting a little distracted. People are talking. I'm sorry. Somebody has something to say? No? Okay. Can somebody tell me what that passage meant? What was said in that passage very quickly?
Like,
God wants us to like try to remember Him and seek Him first above all things, and then He'll provide the other things that we do need. He reminds us of those, about the plants and the lilies, and the really, and like King Solomon, to remember. Sometimes we forget that these little things that God takes care of, we forget about.
So, in three words,
Don't worry.
Who said that? Do not worry. You don't have to, with God, if you have faith as much as a mustard seed, tells you, you do not have to worry about anything. If God loves His birds so much that they fly around and they find food, how much more important are we to Him? So much more important. And we worry about what we wear, what we eat, what car we drive, everything we worry about. Now, see, our Lord God is saying, you don't have to worry about any of that. He will provide. Have faith. We should have faith enough to understand and to believe that all that will be provided through Him. We just have to believe that if we leave it up to Him, that He will provide it for us. It says also in the New Testament about Saint Stephen. Saint Stephen was the first martyr. Okay? We all know that, right? Saint Stephen was the first martyr. It says, Saint Stephen was full of faith and power. He did great wonders and signs. And that he stood before the synagogue. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. This is the power of faith. He who believes but is afraid to show his faith is a person with weak faith. He does not believe in the power of God working through him to others. The woman who was bleeding for 12 years is a perfect example of how she had strong enough faith and she waited that long, and that was a plan in her life that our Lord Jesus Christ would come in, and through that one touch that she would be healed. St. Peter said in one sermon, how many people were converted? 3,000. In one sermon. Okay? 3,000 people were converted. So, let me ask you, if St. Peter, how much faith does St. Peter have? A lot. He had a lot of faith. But let me ask you, how can we serve? Or how can we be a service to others? And show, be an example to others, whether, you know, older or younger, doesn't matter the age. But how, if our faith is not full, if our faith is shaky, or if we are uncertain, how can we serve others with the same faith? So that when they see us, and they say, oh wow, you know, they're very knowledgeable, or he has a lot of faith, or they understand a lot. You could be in any service. And I think it was talking about that. You can do any service. But when you're servicing other people, especially in classes and giving out a lesson, let me tell you, it's not your knowledge working. It's not what you know. It's what God wants you to say that's going to come out to the kids that you have. Okay? And I'm not sure how Santa Mary, are they chosen to be in this pre-service class? And then later on, they're chosen, right? Okay. So let me tell you guys, when you're chosen to be servants, that is God. Like Dr. Mary said, God chooses you to be His servant. God doesn't just choose anybody to serve His people, old or young, no matter who they are. It's what God sees in you. And a great part of it is your faith. God's going to say, what have you done for me? It's okay to say, well, I was faithful. Okay? So, where were your deeds? Right? It says, faith without deeds is dead. Right? So, it's not enough to say, okay, well, I prepared a lesson. Okay, but how did you give the lesson? Isn't it like a lot of times when you have speakers, or even for us older ones, when you have a speaker come in, you can tell right away, you know, if you want to hear them again, or you don't want them to come back again, right? So, or you have it the other way. Somebody might come in, or even for us, older people, and you're like, wow, you know? How does he know so much? How does she know so much? Or you can see the Holy Spirit in them. Like, you can see their spirit working. You feel very comfortable with that person. You guys ever get that feeling? Any of those feelings? That's how you know that your faith is working. Okay? Now, there's a question that the Pope writes in his book. You have faith. Do you believe and have faith? As the Lord said, all things are possible through him who believes. Okay? Do you feel that something is hard or impossible in your life? If that's the case, that's when you know that your faith is in. Your faith is not on the incline, but it's not. It could be on a decline, or it's staying stagnant, dead. Okay. Do you doubt? Do you have doubt in your heart? Are you unsure? Do you know where you're going, where you were, and what your future holds? Okay. Faith is believing in the unseen actions and the things and matters being transformed. Okay. So, with regard to actions and matters, what do we do in the Holy Liturgy that we see get transformed? What gets transformed in the Holy Liturgy? The bread and wine gets transformed to the body and blood, right? Does anybody see it physically happen? No. But you believe through your faith that not that it's going, it does happen. It does happen. Okay? And it does happen, and it's very true. Okay? Now, with regard to dead faith, there's something called dead faith, and I think we already spoke about that, right? It said that faith by itself, it does not have works, but is dead. That's in James chapter 2, verse 17. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay? And then there's another verse the Pope says about being Coptic Orthodox. And he marks it out in bold. It says, I will show you my faith by my works. That's in James chapter 2, verse 18. I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? Oh, I stopped there. Oh, you guys know the rest of it. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Can somebody open up in the Bible? Okay, I'll pick one then. No. Okay, who has a Bible? Oh, he has a Bible. It's already open. Okay, it's in James chapter 2, verse 18.
Go ahead.
You want
me to go? Let him go because I couldn't find
it. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, what's your name?
Michael.
Thank you, Mike.
Someone will say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you faith by my works.
Okay, say it again. Slower.
But someone will say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I will show you faith by my works.
Okay, now, there are two kinds of faiths that exist, okay? There are two faiths. First one is called the theoretical faith, and the second one is the practical faith. Theoretical faith is, can somebody just take a guess, or might know the right answer, what's a theoretical faith? Or practical faith? Who thinks can give me an answer with practical faith? Let me guess. How about you? Yes, please. You hit it perfect. You hit it, yep. Now, theoretical faith is believing exactly. It's believing in the whole scripture, believing in everything, all the sacraments our church does, believing in everything A to Z, and above and beyond. but do nothing with it. That's it. You just believe. Alright? You're Christian, you Coptic Orthodox, and that's the end of it. That's what we believe. And the way you live your life, it's up to you. Okay? Now, it said that, and this is the scary part. So, you believe that there is one God. Very good. So do we. Even the demons believe and tremble before our Lord God. That's James chapter 2, verse 19. Okay? So God says, okay, great. I'm happy you're Christian. You got the Orthodox. So what now? What are you going to do about it? So what makes you different than the demons and the devils? Because at one point, they were angels, and they fell. And devils know the Bible inside and out, right? And they believed in God. So what makes you different than them? That's the scary part. That's the scary part, okay? Now, practical faith as... I'm sorry, what's your name? Monica said, right? Now, practical faith. In this faith, we believe and you practice. You practice by your faith what you believe in. So, we have sacraments that we practice, okay, which strengthen our faith. You know that you confess every so often, okay, and then you're going to repent, and then you're going to take communion, right? With hopes that later on, you will either, number one, not sin the same sins, and by the grace of God, not sin at all, or number three, you will probably turn back to your old ways and probably feel no difference after any of that process. But we are lucky enough that through our faith that our Lord God has given us all these different options and has said, you know, we can do any of this to have a special relationship with Him and turn back to Him. Okay? Now, what is true faith? Can somebody just, when I say true faith, what is true faith? Or can somebody, like, when I say, when something is true, it's certain, right? So, there's no if, ands, or buts about it. It's true. It's 100%. So, if you have 100% of your faith, and your faith is so strong, what can you say about the two words, true faith? What can you say about true faith? It's true. Very good. I can leave it. What else?
A strong belief in God.
A strong belief in God. Okay, what's your name?
Christina.
Christina, thank you. I forgot your name.
Monica.
Go ahead.
It's invincible.
It's invincible. Very good. Very good. Are you going to say, Chris? Okay. So, if you have true faith, so that means today, you woke up in the morning, you plan on reading your Agbeya, right? You know that you have to go to school, you have to go to work, you know everything that you're going to do, okay? And then you added some of these, the religious aspects into your life, okay? Now, what happens the next day? Next day you're so busy, okay? Now, this is not true faith, but the next day you're so busy that you forget about all the religious stuff that you wanted to do, but didn't even cross your mind anymore. That is the opposite of true faith. True faith is actually doing and performing everything on a regular basis. Okay? So, we know that the monks read the whole Agbeya every day, right? One of their license, they have, one of their, like, you know, traits, they have to read the whole Bible every day. Right? That's part of their faith. I'm sorry, the Agbeya. Sorry, forgive me. Wow. That would be... Okay, so they have to read the Holy Bible every day. Okay? And it's not an option. It's not an option. And I am sure that they do it every day. So you know, and it doesn't take any person. It can't be any person who can just do that. Okay? Just a life of solitude and going off to the monastery, can that in itself is enough faith for anything, okay? For a person to give up their whole life right? Their whole family. And turn around and turn back and to go into the monastery. What does that tell you about their life? That they have so much faith and they have so much love for God that all this stuff in the world doesn't make a difference to them. Or does not even faze them. Or they have no need for it. All they want to do is praise God and be with God always. Now, how about strong faith? How does somebody have strong faith?
I feel like they can go through like hardships and tribulations and still come out the same as they went in.
Perfect. Exactly. You live your life. You have obstacles, very hard decisions to make. You probably chose... Who's in college? Anybody in college here? Or you guys are all...
Yeah, I'm in college.
Okay. Okay. So you have... Even in high school, you have a lot of decisions to make, hard decisions, a lot of obstacles, so many things between friends, whatever it is. Okay? The way you know that you have strong faith is... Inside of you, you know that for sure, you know which decisions you're making and how it affects your life. And you know that, not that you're not invincible, but you know that nothing is going to stop you from making a decision, and that you know that God is on your side. Okay? That God, and He won't leave you. And that you know that your prayers are strong enough that they're heard by God, and that He will act upon your prayers. That's faith. It's so hard to say a prayer, and especially in time that you need something, and you think, you know, oh, I really hope God heard my prayer. Or, God, I really need this to get done. If You can just, you know, do it according to Your will. It's according to Your will. God, please, you know, let it happen if You see it, you know, fitting for me in my life. Okay? And sure enough, when the time comes that God wants you to give you that answer, and how better is it when it's the answer that you want to hear from God? What does that do to your faith? It makes it how much stronger? Strengthens it so much, so much more. So it's an incredible feeling when you're praying to God and you're telling God, God, I want this. Or God, if you see fit that this should happen to me, and Lord, I think this is a great step for me, but I put it in Your hands. And God, do You see it fitting for me? Please let me know. And then you leave it up to God. And then, who knows, in a day or two, whatever the case is, you get your answer. And your answer doesn't have to be through God. It'll be through people, through actions, different things that might happen. Later on in life, when you guys apply for, you know, several different jobs, whatever the case is, you'll know right away that it's the hand of God in your life that makes decisions for you. But it's your faith. It's your faith that if you believe, that if you leave it up to God, He will make a decision for you. Okay? There's also something about when our Lord Jesus Christ mentions two instances. One with St. Peter and one with the disciples. When St. Peter, our Lord Jesus Christ said, come to me, and he was walking on water, what happened? St. Peter was walking on the water, and then for a second, what happened in his mind? He doubted. So he's walking. He's walking, right, physically on water. And then for a second, his earthly mind, he said, wait a second, I'm walking on water, which is impossible. And then what happened? It started to sink. So it says, right? And what did God respond to him saying? Said, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? That's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? The second he took his eyes off of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? He started to sink, right? The second he took his eyes off, that's what happened. Okay? Also, when the disciples were in the boat, and the storm came, and the boat started getting rocky, and water started coming into the boat, what did they do? Besides, they started getting fearful and getting scared, right? That the boat might turn over. What did they do? The first thing they did was what? went downstairs, and what did they do? They woke up our Lord Jesus Christ and said, come out, come out. There's a storm, right? We're all going to die. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is in the boat with them, right? Do you think for a second that our Lord Jesus Christ will let anything happen to the boat? Forget the boat. How about the people on the boat? Would he allow anything to happen? If he's already on the boat, would he allow anything to happen? Not at all. No. So he said to them, right? Same thing. Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? O you of little faith. And that's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Now, how about the sign of the cross? The sign of the cross, right? Now, what does it do for your faith? The sign of the cross. Nothing, right? The sign of the cross is very powerful. Who believes that the Holy Cross is very powerful? Okay. I have two little boys, a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Anthony and Nicholas. Does anybody know my 3-year-old? Right? My little son works for the devil. He is very bad. It could be dark. I'll tell him to go upstairs, and he has no problem. My 6-year-old could, I'll tell him to go wash his hands, and the bathroom will be 5 feet away. No, Dad, no way. Anthony, go wash your, no way, there's people around there. Anthony, I promise you there's nobody here. Make the sign of the cross. So he will walk. Awesome, the Holy Spirit. He will walk. To make sure he gets there, wash his hands on the way back, call us on the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Look around, right? He will not think about anything else while making the sign of the cross. And he will get there and come back. Okay? My other one, now, the sign of the cross makes no difference then, he'll do anything, okay? The sign of the cross is very, 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 very powerful, okay? How many times, the Pope mentions that there was an Ethiopian monk, okay, in a monastery. And he wasn't very familiar with the monastery. He was a visitor. So he said, let me go out for a walk outside the monastery into the desert, okay? And he said to himself, okay, by this time, he got a little too far out. So he said, boy, you know, I'm a little far out and it's getting dark. I don't know my way back, so I'm going to spend the night in the desert. So, very simple mind. He made a round circle around the sand. And then he said, okay, so I am going to sleep here. And around every bend of the circle, he made signs of the cross. Okay? And he said when he woke up that morning, he found footprints of bears, foxes, lions, and tigers that an angel had come and put a shield over every cross around the circle that he was laying in so that none of the animals would come and attack him. Okay? And what did he do? He made a sign of the cross in the sand. Okay? What do you guys do before every exam? Probably make a little cross on top of the paper? Or say a prayer? Right? Okay? You make several crosses.
Yes.
I figured. Now, the Pope also wrote, he was on a boat and he was traveling from one city to another. And there were several people on the boat. But there was one little boy that he was looking at the whole time. So it was several hours in on the boat, and a storm came, and they became very worried that they wouldn't make it to the city. So the Pope looked at the boy, and the Pope was praying. Said he sneaked over and heard the boy, and the boy himself was praying because he was so scared. So the Pope, he says, he smiled and he said to God, he said, God, surely you will not let anything happen to anybody on this boat, nor to me or to anybody, just because of the faith of this little boy who's praying. Okay? Now, he never asked him, you know, he never asked him his age, but he said he was a very young little boy who was praying for their safety, for the whole safety of the boat. So the Pope said, just because of this little boy's prayer, okay, and I am very sure that his prayers are going straight to God's ears, just because of this boy's faith and his prayers, that nothing will happen to anybody on that boat. And of course, nothing, you know, did happen. Okay? Now, what happens, like a lot of times, we have things happen, like for example, somebody gets very sick, right? When somebody gets very sick, and then all of a sudden, they go to like NYU Medical Center. They find a really prestigious doctor. And the doctor is able to find out what's going on, what's wrong with them, and the doctor is able to give them medication or a procedure, and they get well. Okay? The person who does not have so much faith will answer and say, you know, good job, doc. This guy's amazing. He's a really good doctor. Hey, guys, we all have to, when we get sick, we're going to go to this guy. He knows exactly what he's doing. Okay? But a person of faith, what will a person of great faith say? He'll say, thank God. Say, wow, you know, God gave this guy so much knowledge, or God worked his hands through this doctor. You know? Same thing with getting into a car accident. Right? What did I see speeding a few times? All you guys speeding. I saw you speeding last week, didn't I? So, a lot of times we speed down the road or whatever the case is, right? How many times has anybody become so close to getting into an accident? So close to getting into an accident, and then somebody sees it and wants, wow, that guy, that woman, they're so clever. They were able to, you know, react at an instinct. Right there, boom. Just, if there was one more inch, what would have happened? Oh, they would have died, and the five other cars in front of them would have been wrecked, and they would have died too. But a person with faith who believes in God will say, wow, alhamdulillah, thank God, you know. God was able to, you know, give me the guidance or send an angel to steer my car away from that. Okay? These things happen. These things happen. And it's your faith, believe it or not, which, number one, will save you. Or number two, not let these things happen. But if they do happen, believe me, they are tests from God. Okay? They are tests from God to see and to test your faith and test and to see that if you are on God's side, 100%. Okay? Now, I'm going to leave you with a few questions. Okay? These are questions to test your faith. How do you test your faith? Number one, are you filled with peace? And if you have no fear, okay? If you believe in God and if you have faith, and you think that you can serve and that your service will be successful, you shouldn't be anxious, you shouldn't be worried, you shouldn't be afraid, undecisive. If you're on God's side and you know God is completely behind you 100%, you don't need to be worried, anxious about anything. Okay? Second question is, are you fearful and full of uncertainty? Okay? Are you fearful and full of uncertainty? Okay? Is your faith a living and a prosperous faith? Is your faith living? And is it a prosperous one? So we know that you're faithful, but is it prosperous? Like, what is your faith doing for you? What are your deeds to show God that I am faithful and I do have a lot of deeds? Okay? Does it grow and increase? Does it grow and increase? How are you telling God that my faith is growing and it's increasing? If you're hanging out with a bunch of people today and they're influencing you the wrong way, that's not going to increase your faith. And I assure you, it's going to be very hard for your influence on those people, okay? Rather than when you're shaky about your faith, but being with the right people, okay, what is their influence going to be on you? Certainly strengthen your certainty, not make it more uncertain, right? Now, is your faith by words only? are there actions, are there deeds in your service to our Lord God? Okay? Is your service done with love and with joy? Or are you doing it just for the sake of doing it so you can tell God, here God, I did your service. Or here God, here, I did this for you. I did that for you. If it's not out of love, it's still going to be dead. Okay? That's the traditional faith, right? Theoretical faith. Somebody have something to say? Okay? Do you feel God's hand in your life? Do you feel God helping you and guarding you and guiding you through your way in life? You know that you have strong enough faith that for God to exist in your life, but not just to exist, but to guard you and to guide you in your decision making and to ease those troubled times, that's when you know that your faith is strong and that God is always with you. Okay? So, do I have any questions? Any comments?
Like, is it wrong to, like, question something that you don't need to know? Like, if something doesn't make sense to you, is it wrong to question?
No. Because by that question, and you knowing the answer, will strengthen your faith. No, not at all. That's when you want to get out every uncertainty. That's the good part. And this is Anthony. So that's when you want to get out every uncertainty. It's not bad to ask questions. Not at all. Okay? I hope and I pray that, like Dr. Mary said, if we can take anything out, or if you guys left with one verse or one point from this discussion, it would be a blessing. I hope I didn't just distract you guys or take time out from your time. And if I was hopefully clear. Anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.